From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." As he resumes a message entitled, "The Spirit's Primary Work in the Christian," Dr. Cairns explains what the things God has given us consist of, and how the Holy Spirit makes these things real in the experience of God's people. As Dr. Cairns has been emphasizing, an understanding of this text is vital to everything in the Christian life. Essentially, the text is teaching the necessity of a clear understanding of Christ and of what believers have in Him. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, we hear a word from the Reverend Colin Mercer, who has recently accepted a call as the senior minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Reverend Mercer speaks of the departure from the observance of the Lord's Day as it has been manifested in a Scottish island's sacred Sunday now being threatened.
The Isle of Lewis, off the west coast of Scotland, has a long and distinguished history of gospel blessing. In the early 1950s, the Reverend Duncan Campbell was invited there to hold a series of gospel services. During those meetings, God was pleased to move in what was later to become known as the Isle of Lewis Revival. The island is a small knit community with strong Presbyterian roots. The godly islanders have sought to maintain the old paths of Sunday observance and Christian worship. However, that is under attack. On Lord's Day, 19th of July, 2009, a ferry company commenced sailings from the Scottish mainland to the island. Newspapers carried the report under the heading, "Scottish Island Sacred Sunday Under Threat." The report went on to state, "An unholy row has broken out over a ferry company's decision to sail on Sunday between a remote Scottish island and the mainland. Residents on the Isle of Lewis, who keep a strict Sabbath, no television, no housework, no shopping, are angry that the Caledonian MacBrien Ferry Company is to start running services between Stornoway, the island's capital, and Ullapool on the Scottish mainland." John Roberts, spokesman for the Lord's Day Observance Society, said of the move, "This is an affront to the religious beliefs and wishes of the people of the island." He added, "The Sunday ferry service is a direct threat to this way of life, which stands for Christian beliefs, the Bible and the Word of God. The majority of the 18,000 islanders strictly adhere to the books of Genesis and Exodus from the Old Testament, in which God declared the seventh day reserved for rest and worship." The report continued, "The fight to prevent the ferry from docking in Stornoway dates back decades. In 1965, the Reverend Angus Smith, a now retired Free Church of Scotland minister, laid down on a pier to block a ferry from trying to dock on a Sunday. He predicted then, the Sabbath sailings will bring nothing but trouble. Church attendance will drop, shops will open, and crime will go up. The ferry company, which is owned by the Scottish Government, said it made the decision to start the Sunday sailings after community consultations. The positive response, combined with the worry over breaching equality laws, led to the decision. It says it received legal advice that it would be unlawful to withhold the service because of the religious views of one part of a community. Sabbath day observance. It has ever been a controversial subject. Controversial in the Old Testament in the days of Nehemiah, and controversial in the New Testament even in the days of Christ. But there are some things to remember. Firstly, God has set one day and seven apart for worship and rest. The fourth commandment states, Exodus 20, 9 through to 11, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And that thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Moreover, we need to remember that man has always sought to set God's law to the side, and this includes the fourth commandment. This is not a new development. Natural man rejects the law of God. Society at large has despised the Ten Commandments. It counts them for nothing. Think of the murder of millions of unborn children under the name of abortion, and it's obvious that multitudes have thrown the law of the Lord to the side. Furthermore, the rejection of the fourth commandment will invariably lead to a downgrade in society. Sin is a reproach to any nation. The careless approach to the Sabbath day is usually followed by a careless approach to spiritual and eternal things. While God does permit acts of mercy and necessity, he does deserve and does command obedience to his law regarding the Sabbath. Disobedience in one part will surely lead to disobedience in another. Moreover, the Lord's Day provides an opportunity to worship God and attend to the preaching of his word, and this should be maintained at all costs. The Isle of Lewis is known as the Isle of Revival. May it please the Lord to visit his work there again and send a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive.
Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. O breath of God, come sweeping through us, revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew and fit thy church to meet this hour. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah. Again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who hath borne all our sins and hath cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life, theology, and the far-reaching influence of the great reformer John Calvin. Three leading Christian scholars provide helpful insights into the work of this much misunderstood spiritual giant as part of the observance of the 500th anniversary of Calvin's birth. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on the Reverend Cecil Maneri. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the Czech Republic. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the best way to study the Bible? Is baptism essential for salvation? Or, how is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Preachers think that if they can work on people's guilt, Christians' guilt now I'm talking about, if they can just make them feel guilty enough, then they'll do a good job and make them holy. My friend, it's one thing to feel your guilt, it's one thing to know the accusation of the devil, but it's a totally different thing to get the victory over it and live in holiness. How do you get the victory over it? By seeing Christ as your righteousness. Seeing Him as your righteousness. Seeing Him in the shedding of His blood as God's answer to every accusation of the devil. Oh, it's one thing, my friend, to feel your wretchedness, but what a joyously different thing it is to get to the cross and there in the shed blood know the Holy Spirit witnessing to your heart, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Christ died. Christ rose. Christ ascended. Christ intercedes. Thank God, God has no charge to lay to the people of God. You know, when the Holy Spirit witnesses of Christ your righteousness, it brings the greatest freedom into your life. There is no other single act of the Holy Spirit that ever brings such freedom of conscience, freedom of mind, freedom of activity, joy in service, usefulness to God, as this one act where He brings you to the cross and He lets you see that Jesus Christ is your righteousness. And there is no accusation that God will entertain against you. That you're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to speak of Christ, our sanctification. And here he's dealing with the corruption of our heart, stirred up by the world's temptations. Ah, we are in a wicked world. And what's more, we have within our breast a wicked old man that wants to go along with that wicked world. And the temptations of the world would stir up that foul pit of sin in the breast of every man and every woman. How do you get the victory? Man, that's a question I am asked, and I have been asked down through the years. That is, I believe, one of the most pressing questions on the minds of Christians today. I know what I ought to be. I know what I ought to do. But how do I do it? And I again say to you that the Holy Spirit must minister Christ to your heart if you're going to get victory. I remember reading many years ago the testimony of an old missionary. And dealing with this matter of the corruption of the old man rising up in response to the temptations of the world. And this missionary said, I used to, by dint of willpower, repress and just put the lid on these things. And by gritting my teeth, I would just press them down. But in honesty, I was no better inside than if I had given full vent to them. Because all the emotions were there. All the guilt of defeat was there. All the frustration of failure was there. And repression couldn't change it. What is the answer then? If it's not willpower, if it's not repression, if it's not just ignoring it, what is the answer? Christ, our sanctification. Christ, our victory over sin. Christ in us, reigning, conquering, victorious. And I want to tell you, my friend, only the Holy Spirit of God can show you victory in Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? Here is the crux of Christian living. We were singing it this morning. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Christians live in victory because that's not true of them. Or they don't live in victory because that's not true of them. They live in defeat because that is just singing a lie. But when the Holy Spirit shows us Christ, when we see Him by faith, and He thrills our souls, it's then that the allurements of the world lose their attraction. It's then that the bright lights of the world are dimmed into shadows. And it's then that our soul is drawn out unto our God. I said this is the most vital ministry of the Holy Spirit, to show us Christ. He has also made unto us redemption. That deals, thank God, with our future. For the Corinthians, a future beset by doubts and personal weakness. How often Christians are plagued by doubts about the future. Sometimes the devil would inject doubts into their mind even regarding the doctrines of the Word of God and the future. That happened to the Corinthians. Questioning about the resurrection. Questioning about the body of the resurrection. My friend, I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus Christ, you can face life. You can face death. You can face eternity with the absolute certainty, Christ is my redemption. Now this is how Paul addresses the Corinthian church. He says, we have received the Spirit which is of God with the purpose that we might know these things that are freely given to us and bestowed upon us by the grace of God. These are the broad categories. Now, I may not have touched on your particular need this morning. You can go on and be as particular and detailed as you please or as you need. God has freely, graciously given to us. You go down the list: election, sonship and adoption, forgiveness of sins, acceptance with God, reconciliation through the blood, the cleansing of the blood, access to the throne of grace in the place of prayer, grace to help us in every time of need. He gives us freely strength and guidance and security. He gives us keeping power, preservation, the provision for every need. In a word, He gives us eternal life. And you could go on. Love, joy, peace, goodness, mercy that follow us all the days of our life in the unfailing kindness of our covenant God. Now, these are great truths. And if you're a Christian, you believe every one of them. Up here, at least. But the whole burden of this text is that these must be more than great truths. These must be great truths that are clearly seen and fully known and personally perceived by us, because they are applied to us by the Holy Spirit of God. This is His greatest ministry in the believer: to make us know, to make us see with that certain perception of the mind enlightened by the Holy Ghost, see Jesus Christ, that we may live looking unto Jesus, that we may be able to say, as Paul did in Hebrews chapter 2, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. We need that ministry of the Holy Spirit in good times, in times of prosperity, when the blessings of God are piling in upon our lives. We need to see Christ. Man or woman, in your prosperity, beware lest, as Moses said, lest thou forget the Lord. You need to see Christ in the days of your prosperity. You need to see Christ in the days of calamity, when adversity and affliction, when weakness and sickness and trial and temptation and bereavement and sadness and loss are coming and seeking to envelop our very being. My, out of that darkness of human circumstances, we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to turn our eyes upon Jesus. And let us see that there is not a sorrow that rends the heart, but that the man of sorrows hath a part. That there is not a path, but that He takes our hand in His and leads us every step of the way. That there is not a circumstance, but that He has for us a provision of gospel grace to edify us and glorify Him in that circumstance. We need Him in good times and calamitous times. We need Him in life. We need to see Him in death. Oh, let us pray that this ministry of the Spirit will be so effective that we will never lose sight of Jesus. We have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's His ministry. Now, just backtrack a moment and notice the emphasis on the mind of the saints. That we might know. There's the mind. How often I have said that to live right, Christians must think right. Now, I'm not a Norman Vincent Peelite, I am not a Robert Schullerite. I do not recommend to you mere positive thinking. That is the devil's counterfeit of the gospel. And I don't care if it's a so-called Christian minister that's preaching it. I don't care if it's a so-called Christian seminar that's propounding it. It is the devil's counterfeit of the gospel. We are never told think positively. Oh, we are told think purely. We are told think Christ. Think the gospel. Think the grace of God. Let this be in your mind. Positive thinking is just a humanistic substitute for this glorious gospel truth that the mind of the believer is to see Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.